I'd like to say that it's my privilege to be here again tonight. Glad to see those that are out with us for the service. We look forward to coming to church at night here in this area and sharing our enthusiasm for Jesus Christ with you. Appreciate those that have come out from night to night to listen to the gospel. And we've had a wonderful time in trying to expound the gospel of Jesus. Here tonight, again, we come together for the sole purpose of magnifying the Son of God and lifting up His great and wonderful name. We've had some good listeners. We've had quite a bit of irreverence in that people have been going in and out so much through the service, getting up and down and going in and out. Some of it is necessary in that people are pressed with necessity. Others, it's just a habit with them of not having any reverence for the house of God, and they have developed a nature not to reverence God's great sanctuary, and so they just do that. We've had a few people that have refused to listen. They have gotten up and walked away before we had time to really indoctrinate them or talk to them. You know, the Bible said a fool uttereth all that he knoweth. He doesn't give you a chance to tell him anything. He's a fool. So he uttereth all that he knows. And a man is not wise that judges a matter before he hears it. He is still a fool because he draws his opinion after he hears you say a few things and he leaves because he is a fool. But a wise man will grow wiser. And the Bible said if you instruct him, he will grow wiser in the knowledge and wisdom and understanding of God. So then tonight we are very appreciative for those that have been wise enough to stay and listen long enough to find out whether they should condemn it or whether they should justify it. That is the message that we're bringing to this area. I had some people last night, a couple, they came under the tent. They did not have the right spirit when they came under the tent. Yet I'm glad that we've got discernment. If we didn't have discernment as ministers, we'd be in bad shape. A doctor that would take you down to the office or down to the hospital, and if he could not tell you anything that was wrong with you, he'd be a bad doctor. Isn't that right? He'd be a poor excuse for a doctor. But with the use of the x-rays and the different things, he can penetrate the outer person and go right in and tell you what's wrong with you. And so it is when people walk in under here. If I see something strange or feel something out of kill a little bit, I just kind of put them on the x-ray to find out what they are. And then after that, I know what to expect. And so this couple came in last night with the wrong spirit. When they first came in, I decided to put them under the x-ray because I saw something was out of order. And they had the wrong spirit when they came in. They listened a few minutes, and I said something that they thought wasn't right, so they up and they went out. And to their utter amazement, before they could get in their car, I caught their spirit again outside, and they were literally shocked when I said some things that prove that they really believed what I was saying. And too embarrassed to return, they continued on their way. A fool does things like that. But a wise man, he will stay until he finds out for sure that you are a false prophet, and then he will leave. Or find out for sure that you are preaching the Word of God. Such people who judge the Word of God so foolishly and so unwisely are not capable of handling their own lives and souls, let alone the lives of others. So I want to say tonight to those that have been willing to listen and judge the things that we are saying, and judge them not according to their convictions, not according to their religious background, But according to the word of God, I would like to say that I appreciate you people. I trust that God will open the eyes and minds of the others, and they too will be able to receive something from God and correct the disorders of their life before it is too late. It is for sure that God has sent me here. We're not here of our own accord. We've come because Jesus has sent us. We're here because we love the Lord and because it is His will for us to be here in this area. We've set this tent for one reason, and that is to preach the gospel and to share with them that are willing to listen the infallible word of God. I think that most of you tonight will agree that the coming of the Lord is at hand. Most any sober-minded person, they would not have to be a Christian, but any sober-minded person that would just stop and consider a little bit would quickly admit that this day that we're living in is an unusual day, and that it is altogether different from any day that they have ever seen or read about in history. And so then they will readily admit that something is going wrong and that something is about to happen. When you look around and you see great leaders like the President of the United States shot, all of a sudden another one comes in and he's shot, and another one, he runs for office and he's shot. And then you look around and you see men like the great Pope of Rome, all of a sudden they're shot, and some are shot to death, some are wounded almost to death. You look around and you say, my God, what's going on? People are killed all up and down the streets. And I think most of you will admit that today is a worse day than it was in the days of Jesse James. I know that perhaps some of you don't see it that way, but it is true. The day that we're living in is worse than the days of Jesse James. Worse than the days of the Old West. It's a lot worse. Back in the days of the Old West, there might be a few people that would kill you, and there would be a price or a bounty on the head of some men that were killers, like Billy the Kid or whatever. There was a few men that was notorious, and these men were deadly. But did you know that in the day that we're living in, there are deadly men and women all over the city, all through the nation, all through the world. Hundreds and thousands of them will kill you and think nothing about it. They're dope addicts. They're beatniks. They are renegades from justice. And they are people that place no value whatsoever on human lives. They are gullible people that sit and watch TV, and even the little children that watch these evil things on TV are becoming murderous. Watching those things and reading things in magazines and books, they are becoming murderous. Now, I know a lot of people say, Brother Pike, seeing things on TV, reading things in the paper, reading things in magazines doesn't have to do with anything like that. But I want you to know for sure that it does. You can be for sure that it does have something to do with it. Now, did you know that they have proven that even little fairy tales and little old stories that are in booklets that we would not even think anything of, they have positively proven that these things have produced murderers. Even a little story like Jack and the Beanstalk, some foolish little something, they have positively proven that in the past, even the little story, Jack and the Beanstalk, has produced murderers. So you see, what a person hears, it really means something. You need to be careful what you hear and careful what you put into your heart. You know, you need to be careful what you listen to out on the streets, or you listen to from your relatives or your friends or people that you have confidence in. Did you know the Bible tells us that God will feed us the fruits of our thoughts? The Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. It's according to his thinking as to what he really is. And the Bible said that God will feed him the fruits of his thinking. He must be careful what he thinks, because whatever he thinks, that really is what he is. And it isn't long before that will show up. It isn't long before that will be revealed to him and all of them that know about him. So every day of your life, you need to be real careful what you think and what you put into your heart and what you feed upon, folks. It's of the greatest of importance that you be careful what you place within your heart and what you think about daily, because whatever you think about, that's what you're going to be. All right? I want to read some from the book of Ephesians. If you've got your Bible, then you can read with me. Chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now, I read this last night, and I want to read just a little more of it tonight, that you might be able to get a hold of some of the things that I was saying last night. It says here, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He says in the 17th verse that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now that Paul tells us in his writings that he is a minister of the mysteries of God. Then he tells us in one place, he says, great is the mystery of godliness. I am a minister, or I am a steward of the mysteries of God. A lot of people, you know, they say, Brother Pike, the gospel is just a simple thing, and you don't have to worry about it. You just hear the preacher, he tells you how to be saved, and that's it. And then you go on your way and you do whatever through life that you want to do, because there's nothing else to do. But I want you to know that, right to the contrary, the gospel of Christ is a great mystery. It is the greatest mystery that's ever been given to mankind. And the Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. Paul said, I am a steward of that mystery. And the Bible tells us at the sounding of the last trump, read it in the book of Revelation, at the sounding of the last trump, when the angel of Revelation 10 begins to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. I want you to notice something here. In this 10th chapter of the book of Revelation, the Bible tells us that the mysteries of God are to be finished. It is here in this Revelation 10 that John beholds another mighty angel that comes down from heaven. He is clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow is upon his head. His face is as the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. He has a little book open in his right hand. His left foot is on the earth, and his right foot is on the sea. He cries with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he cries, the Bible says that seven thunders utter their voice. And when the seven thunders utter their voice, he said, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven, and this voice from heaven said, seal up those things which the thunders uttered, and write them not. And he said that he saw this angel lift up his hand toward heaven, and he sware by him that liveth forever and forever, that time should be no more. Now he sware by him that liveth forever and forever, that time should be no more. Now, you that are not spiritual, or perhaps you that are unlearned in the things of God, when I say that time shall be no more, you would not understand what I mean by time. But you that are spiritual, you that understand, perhaps you that have applied yourselves to the things of God, perhaps you have the revelation of God, and perhaps you understand the mystery of God, and you know what I mean when I use the terms time. But he said, and time shall be no more. Now, when you say time shall be no more, that means that we can take our clocks, almanacs, any kind of time markers, anything that has to do with time, we can take them and throw them into the ocean. We can do away with them, for time shall be no more. For he shall set his foot upon the land, and set his foot upon the sea, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, that time shall be no more. You say, Brother Pike, what does this mean to us tonight when you say that time shall be no more? It means that anything that is related to time, anything that is related to time is a time creature. And anything that is a time creature must cease to be when time stops. But that which is not related to time, that which is related to eternity, shall not cease to be when time ends. But they that are eternal creatures shall continue on into the great ages of ages and on into the great eternities of God without a spot, without a blemish, without the loss of life, without the loss of the great character of God, without the loss of the gifts and benefits that is promised through Calvary. But every person that is related to time shall cease to be when time ends. All right. He says here in the 10th chapter that time shall be no more. It says in the 7th verse of the 10th chapter, and we read, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Now, when the last voice sounds, first of all, what is this voice that is about to sound? Since this has so much to do with us and the end of the world, and the end of all of the system of the world, what then is this voice that is about to sound? This voice that is about to sound is a voice that understands the mystery of God. It understands the mystery of God. The Bible said the Spirit of God searcheth out the things of God, yea, the deep things. This voice understands the deep things of God. It understands the hidden things of God. It understands the mystery of God. It understands that which is not written between the covers of the Bible. It understands that which is in the veil, that that's beyond human reach. The Bible tells us that God has set this abundantly and above all that we're able to think, or ask. And the Bible teaches that we can't get to it by fasting. We can't get to it by praying. We can't get to it by asking. We can't get to it by money, prestige, power, or ability. But the Bible says that God hath revealed it unto us by His Spirit, even to babes such as are willing to learn. Though we cannot obtain unto it, though we don't have the ability to do it, yet if through fasting and prayer, seeking God and concern and living holy, if we do these things through this, we will catch God's attention and God will take us into His consideration, and God may then reveal these things unto us depending on our loyalty and sincerity unto Him. But God had reserved these things, beloved, for Himself. No man can obtain unto these things. Professors that have spent their lives in study, great scientists that have spent their time diligently searching, have never run across this. The Bible said, though a man be a wayfaring fool, and though he might stumble into a barroom, he might stumble into a home, he might stumble into anything, a wayfaring fool will never even run across this path. There is no way that he can ever find this wonderful hidden manna of God. But to him that overcometh, I will give unto him to eat of the hidden manna, Jesus said. In these things, that makes us to know that this voice that is going to sound understands the mystery of God. Who is this voice that is going to sound? John tells us in his writing that just as he sees the church sealed in, just as he sees the great seal of God seal the church in, he said, I looked, and there in heaven I saw a great multitude that no man could number. They were before the throne of God, all nations, all kindreds, all tongues. They were following the Lamb whithersoever He went. He was keeping the tears from their eyes. He was leading them to living fountains of water. There would be no more heat to come upon them. And it says here that they followed the Lamb. Then he said, after looking heavenwardly and seeing this great phenomenon, he said, I looked earthly and toward earthward. As I looked earthward, he said, I saw another great phenomenon. I saw 144,000 people. And I saw them receive a seal. I saw an angel flying from the east crying to the four winds of the earth, see that you hurt nothing upon the earth until God has sealed His servants in their foreheads. Now you remember the life of Daniel. You remember the winds that was wrestling over the waters in the days of Daniel. You remember how God said, seal this thing up, Daniel. It's for the end time. You can't understand it now. It's not given to you now. But in the end time, it shall be revealed. Here is John beholding the same vision. John sees these four winds again. Here comes these great four winds again. They're beginning to move again upon the waters. And they're starting to wrestle over the waters again. And this great angel from the east, he said, see that nothing is disturbed in the earth. Nothing is hurt in the earth. Until this great seal of God is put on the forehead of these people. The Bible tells us that there was sealed of those people 144,000. Remember, this was in the earth. The great multitude was seen in heaven, but the 144,000 was seen in the earth. And then about that time, there came forth a great silence throughout heaven. There was a great silence. 30 minutes of silence throughout heaven. Now then, we're made to wonder a lot of times if we don't understand why this 30-minute silence. Why was this great hush throughout heaven? Why was it everything was so quiet all of a sudden? For 30 minutes, nothing moved, nothing sounded, nothing was done. Everything was so active. Everything was alive. Everything was moving. And then all of a sudden a hush comes over everything. And everything just comes to a standstill and everything just stops. Why is that? It is because the days of the Gentiles are finished. It is because the blood is fixing to come off of the mercy seat. It is because God is fixing to pour out His wrath upon mankind. And within that 30 minute period, there that silence in heaven, nothing can speak in heaven, nothing can speak in the earth, nothing can speak under the earth. Everything is dumbfounded because they know in that very moment that God's grace will be lifted from mankind. The Bible says there is an angel that comes forth. He takes a censer within his hand. He walks over to the little golden altar. He puts coals from that little golden altar into that censer. And then he mixes that with the prayers of the saints. You know, the Bible teaches that the prayers of the saints are bottled up as sweet-smelling incense before God. And in the Old Testament, when the high priest would go into the place beyond the veil, he had to take this special kind of a perfume. He had to mix that with the coals of that little altar before he would go into that great veil of the Holies of Holies. This perfume, nobody could make any like it. Nobody could duplicate it, because the Bible said if they did, God would cut them off. Now, here we see that that perfume represented the prayers of the saints. It represented the Holy Spirit. That if in this day we be religious, if in this day we act religious, if in this day we are not holy, not godly, not pure, and if we hypocrite on God, if we bring something as a religion that is not God's word, then God will cut us off from among the people because we've tried to duplicate the Holy Spirit. We've tried to bother with that which God said man shall not tamper with. And so then we see the mixture of this. All of a sudden he draws back with that censer and he throws it into the earth. And the Bible said there's lightning, there's thundering, there's earthquakes, and everything began to get out of shape in the earth. All of the earth went into a convulsion, and the mountains began to roll to and fro, and the billows of the ocean began to sweep because the censer went into the earth. What is it? The blood has come off of the mercy seat. Now there's judgment in the earth. Now there's wrath in the earth. Now there's turmoil in the earth. Now there's trouble in the earth. This great angel said, "See that you hurt nothing till the servants of our God is sealed in the forehead." Here we see that the saints of God has already been sealed in and raptured away. We see them standing there before the throne of God. And we see the 144,000, which represents the Jews, as they come in and the tribulation period sets in. We see this great convulsion begin to take place. You know, John, he said, "I looked and the mountains were moved out of their place." He said, when he spoke about the cities, "I saw all of the nations of the world, and I saw the buildings of the cities of the nations of the world. I saw them crumble to the ground. I saw the great skyscrapers like New York and the great buildings of London and the great buildings of Germany. I saw all of the nations on the earth. I saw the buildings and they literally crumbled to the ground." John said, "I saw the islands move out of their places." You know, in the days of Noah, the world was upright. But when man sinned against God in the garden, the earth was tilted. God is one God, but He comes to us as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He works with us in three perspectives of life. Whatever happens in either one of those perspectives, in the Spirit, relates to something in the natural.
And whatever happens in that particular level or place, as we would say, whatever happens in the spiritual on one of those three levels happens in the earth to that which is relative to it in the earth. There is a great spiritual mystery, a great spiritual revelation. I've already been into it. I understand it thoroughly. But for me to be able to bring to the listening ear that which is they cannot see with their natural eye, or that which is a mystery, it is very difficult as you travel around the world, because people are not learned in spiritual things. They're not oriented in spiritual things. They're not programmed in their mind to have a foundation to build upon. And by the time you lay a foundation for each individual in their mind to program them to where you can spiritually fit things in, your revival is over and your revival is gone, because people will not listen that much. People are quick-tempered. People are quick to judge. People are quick to reason. You know, listen. Every man is a sovereignty. Every man's got his own world. Every man does his own thinking. God has given him an individual world. He is an individual world of his own. Did you know, in your world, the lightning might be flashing. In your world, the thunder might be rolling. In your world, it might be a great storm of life. But brother, in my world, it might be springtime. The birds might be singing. In my world, I might be rejoicing. In my world, it could be a great, wonderful, beautiful day. While in your world, it is a nightmare. Because every man is a sovereignty. And so then God has to work according to humanity's thinking, according to humanity's patience, according to humanity's willingness. God will not approach upon their rights of sovereignty. He will invite them. He will request that they do this, or he will offer to them the opportunity. But he will never approach upon their own sovereign right. He will let them eat their life away, drink their life away. He will let them gossip their life away. He will let them lust their life away. He will let them do anything that they want to do. Or they can turn to God and think upon Jesus day and night and have perfect peace in God and have eternal life. All right. Now then, John, he said, I saw the islands move out of their places. This great catastrophe, this great calamity, that had suddenly besieged things and was befalling the world or mankind. John said, I saw it. I saw the islands go down. I saw the mountains move out of their places. Other islands were shifted around. Now listen, did you know that could be nothing less than those bombs that will be dropped? That could be nothing less than what the Bible speaks of, where the elements are disturbed. Now I want you to listen for a moment now. Don't judge it until you have a chance to listen. Did you know that Lucifer is the prince of the powers of the air? That Satan is the prince of the powers of the air? And did you know tonight that you are sick in your body, that you are afflicted in your body, that you are having problems, oppression, and sorrow in your human being, all because Lucifer is the prince over the powers that's in the air? And those powers that's in the air is not only evil spirits that get a hold of man's minds, whereby they're taken into captivity at the will of Satan. Not only is Lucifer over the fallen angels that infiltrate the air, not only that, but this world, he is the prince of this world. That means that he is the ruler of the darkness. And darkness means intellectual reasoning, that which comes from the fall of mankind, from the tree of knowledge. That's why the Bible tells us not to lean to our own understanding. At first birth, thinking from it will get us in trouble. So then, we are, as I say, a sovereignty. We do our own thinking. Lucifer, being the prince of the powers of the air, he has control over the atomic particles. He is the power of control over the atomic particles. That's why science is able to work with those particles the way that they can. Lucifer is the prince of the powers of the air. He has control of atomic matter, of atomic particles. He is the ruler over it. He's the one that causes the storms. He's the one that causes the earthquakes. He's the one that causes the problems. All right, don't jump up and fly out now and think you're smart. Listen a few minutes and see if I'm wrong. Listen just a few minutes now and see if perhaps you're wrong about your thinking. You know, you've got to listen a few minutes to find out. Satan, Lucifer, he's the prince over the powers of the air. See, he's the prince of this world. It fell into his hands. God made Adam the prince of this world. God gave Adam the things of this world. But Lucifer took them away from Adam. And Lucifer became the prince of this world. And Lucifer is the ruler of this world. And Lucifer loves the things of this world. Good times, dear brother. Good times, dear sister. When you see plenty of money, plenty of spending, plenty of these things, Lucifer has control. You say, Brother Pine, you mean God doesn't want us to have good things? God wants us to have the very best. God wants us to prosper. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. But there is a prosperity that comes from God. There's a prosperity that comes from Lucifer. A lot of these evangelists is traveling through the land that's preaching prosperity. It doesn't come from God. And if you follow it, you'll wind up in hell in the same place that that evangelist is going to. There is a blessing that comes from God. The Bible said the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and it addeth no sorrow. But the Bible said if a man get riches deceitfully, he shall be cut off in the midst of his days, and in the end he shall be a fool thereof. Now, when we look at these things, we realize that what Jesus meant when he made the statement, Satan, get thee behind me, because thou savest the things that be of this world. We know what he meant when he said, Lucifer, I see you working through Peter's human being, and I know you're trying to trap me. I know that you savor the things that be of this world because you are the prince of this world, and you love the things that be of the flesh. I know what you're after, and I know what you're trying to do. But he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus was loyal. Isn't that right? Jesus was loyal. You remember Joseph in the dungeon? He was in the dungeon because he was loyal. He was loyal to his master, being a type of Jesus Christ. When that ill-famed woman laid hold on Joseph before he would commit evil with her, he wrestled himself loose from his garment, and he left that garment hanging there within her hand, and he went away, and they put him in the dungeon. Jesus Christ hanging upon Calvary as this world, as an ill-famed woman, laid hold upon him and said, commit the evil act with me. If you'll do these things, Lucifer said, I will give you the very desires of your heart. I'll make you ruler of the world, because all of these things are delivered into my hands to give to whom I will. But the Bible said Jesus rose. He rolled, he moved, he groaned until he pulled himself out of that fleshly garment and left it hanging there upon the cross and went down into the dungeon to keep from committing evil with that ill-famed person. Being loyal to his master, being loyal to God, he refused to do that because he knew what was ahead of him. And the Bible said he endured the cross, despising the shame thereof, but for the joys that was set before him, he endured the cross. Now, the islands were moved out of their places. Look at it here in the garden. Man was in good shape. Nothing was wrong. But when man sinned against God, when man began to do his own thinking, when he began to feed from the tree of knowledge, when he began to turn to the darkness, then he got in trouble. Isn't that right? Notice this now. Man was upright. Man was upright. The Bible said God made man upright. So then, man being upright, everything around him was upright. His environment was upright. The natural was upright. The spiritual was upright, because the physical was upright. But the very minute that Satan tilted man on his axis, the very minute that he drawed him away from God, his surroundings become tilted on their axis. Even a third part of the angels of heaven fail from heaven, because heaven become tilted on its axis. The angelic world become tilted on its axis. The natural world become tilted on its axis, because man was tilted on his axis. Man didn't think right anymore. See, man is relative to the earth. Whatever happens to man's human being, the earth has to go along with it, because man is the ruler of the earth. Man is also relative to heaven, because inside he is an angel. The Bible speaks of that being Peter's angel when Rhoda said, "Peter's at the door." They said, "Peter's angel." In heaven, we're all as the angels or spirit when our spirit departs this body. And so then man is relative to the angels. Therefore, everything in heaven had to be tilted on its axis. And that's what's wrong with the world today. What was it then that John was looking at? John was seeing the uprightness of the earth when that tribulation period came in, and those mountains moved out of the place and the islands moved out of the place. John was seeing the correction of that perverted thing that took place in the days of Noah, or back there in the days when Adam sinned against God. Let's look at it for a minute and see if that's right. Immediately, the man of God, the woman of God, the church, they are in heaven. They are upright again. They are in the presence of God again. Everything is fine again. Here, just as quick as they go up into heaven, what happened? The blood comes off of the mercy seat. The blood comes off of the mercy seat, because everything is upright again. Since man is upright before God, then that means it is time to straighten heaven out. Revelation 12 says, "And Lucifer, the accuser of the brethren, went out of heaven just as quick as the man child was caught up to the throne. And he that accused the brethren day and night could be in heaven no longer. And a third part of the stars of the angels that God hath rejected came down as darkness, because they were not true lights, but they were reflectors of the light of God. They fell from heaven." And the Bible said the stars fell from heaven. The writer of the New Testament calls these wandering stars, of whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever, when it speaks of the angelic people, or speaks of those that are in the church that's bound by these evil spirits. When we see this, we say the islands moved out of their place. We say that this great mountain that we were looking at moved out of its place. Why did it do it? How did it do it? It was because before the world was ever tilted, there was a mountain setting over here, and this other mountain was in the ocean. There was an island setting over here. This other island was in the ocean. This part of the ground was in the ocean. This other part was upright. But when the world got tilted, that was beneath the water came up. That was out of the water went down. When God straightens man on his axis, when the church is caught out in the presence of God, and when he's upright again, that mountain that one time was here will come up. That island that was one time here will come up. That mountain that was beneath the deep shall go down. That island that was beneath the deep shall go down. All of that shall go down, and the other shall come up. It's got to go back to its upright position. Are you listening? What's going to cause it? The blasting of the bombs. God's got everything set just right. Set just right. When the blood comes off of the mercy seat, man is before God. He's upright. All of his surroundings come upright again. All of this ground that's been hid beneath those deep, dark waters, they shall come up. And that's what's going to bring on that great millennium of 1,000 years. That ground that's been down there in the earth. Remember, the millennium is the same earth. Somebody would say the new earth. No, the Bible doesn't say it's the new earth. The new earth follows after the 1,000 years millennium. The millennium is the restored earth, which means this earth right here being turned back to its originality as the garden. And in that time, that fertile soil that was deep down beneath the ocean bed that's been kept fertile will come up, and the desert will blossom like a rose, and all of that land that they've not been able to touch because of their gullibleness and their greediness will come up, and God will set it in order and bring a great millennium day. You know, the earth today, beloved friend, if people had followed the order of God, they'd still have earth today filled with vegetation like a garden. But they don't let it have its Sabbath. God said there'll come a day when my earth shall have her rest, when my earth shall have its Sabbath, and you shall give it its Sabbath like I told you to. You'll give it time to refertilize. But man's so gullible, man's so greedy, he just uses it up. He won't work with God no way at all. And in doing so, God's going to take it away from him and give it back to them people that he taught to give the earth a Sabbath so that it can go through the 1,000 years millennium and people can see that there is no shortcoming on God's part. That all of the problem is with man, or that is Lucifer. The Bible said, within my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. All right, give me just a few minutes more now. Look at it. Who is this man here in the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation? Or we say angel. Who is this angel in the 7th verse of the 10th chapter? Remember, just as quick as that church goes up into the presence of God, the Jews are sealed in the earth. Immediately now, just immediately, the blood comes off of the mercy seat. John sees the censer cast in the earth, the turmoil, the lightning, the wars, whatever. But at the same time, he sees 7 angels. They're standing there with trumpets ready to sound. And the Bible said each one of those angels sounded. It tells how that fire, hail mingled with blood came down, and the third part of the trees was smitten, and on, how that the locust was loosed upon the earth, how this great battle was about to take place that was going to be in the midst of mankind. First angel and second angel and third angel and fourth angel, right on down, the fifth angel. See, the Bible said the last three of those angels that sounded, the last three of the 7 that sounded, he said, woe, woe, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth by reason of these angels that are to sound. The last three of those 7 trumpets was 3 woes. It was between the 6th and the 7th trumpet, or it was between the 2nd and the 3rd woe, that all of a sudden after 2 of the woes had sounded, this great angel swept down from heaven and stood there with his face like the sun, and screamed out aloud before that third woe sounded. And he cried out aloud, and the thunders uttered their voices, and he said, in the days of the voice of the 7th angel, when he began to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as God has promised unto his prophets. I want you to notice the original rendering of the word mystery. If you'll go back and check it out in its original rendering, it is called secret. It says the secret of God should be finished. Now the Bible tells us, he that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And the Bible said, and the secret of God shall be finished. Notice, somebody would say, Brother Pike, when will this angel sound? If you got just a few more minutes to listen, and we'll close. If you have, raise your hand. I want to see. All right, let me get me just a swallow of water here, and we'll talk about it some more. Now that we know who this great angel is that's sounding, let's see when and where he is going to sound. You say, do we really know, Brother Pike, who he is? He is one of the 7 angels after the church is gone. He is one of the 7 angels that's supposed to sound. Will this angel actually sound and finish the mysteries of God? Can that actually be at the sounding of the last trump? Will we actually be changed from mortal to immortality, from corruptible to incorruptible? Or is the sounding of this angel after that the church has been sealed in, raptured and gone? So then we see here that this great angelic being that understands the mysteries of God, here he is going to sound, and John declares that when he sounds, the mystery of God should be finished. Notice the seven thunders uttered their voices. John was going to write them down, which means that John heard those seven thunders. He knew those seven thunders. The Bible said that which is revealed unto man belongs to man. That which is the secret thing belongs unto God. God made those seven thunders known to mankind, and today they belong to mankind. Though the church does not understand because John did not write them in the Bible, yet everything that God has ever done or ever will do, spiritually, naturally, or physically, is found within this Bible if you're able to interpret and understand the spiritual meaning of what God is telling us. And beloved friend, any kind of revelation, any kind of thought, any kind of mystery, or any kind of anything else that doesn't fit this Bible, that doesn't come from this Bible, that is not relative to this Bible, is of the devil. John could boldly say, if anybody add anything to this book, the plagues of this book will be added unto them. Or if anybody take away from this book, their part would be taken out of the book of life. Because the revelation of Jesus Christ is contained within the book. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, the revelation of Jesus Christ is contained within the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, if you'll notice, the first thing that it says in the first chapter, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, the things which must shortly come to pass. Somebody would say, well, that is the revelation of Jesus Christ. There ain't no more revelation. If that be true, then why did Paul say, and the revelation of Jesus Christ was made known unto me? Why is it that Paul said, though I have revelation, yet I shall come to revelation? Why did he say, pray that God would give unto you the spirit of revelation? If that is not the revelation of Jesus Christ, then what kind of understanding are we getting in this day? Where does all of this other come from? From the day of 96 AD, when John was exiled to the little island. Since that time, the revelation that has come, where has it come from if it has not come from God? Now, let's look at it. If this is the seventh angel, and if the seventh angel is sounding, and if this is the end of time, if this is the end of the world, whereas the Bible says, when he sounds, it shall be the end of the world. It shall be the end of time, for the mysteries shall be made known. Now listen just a minute. When you say mysteries made known, what do you mean? Did you know that when you talk about time, when you talk about the end of time, when you talk about the beginning of time, and what time is, and what time has to do with God, and what time has to do with God's program, did you know that that is a great mystery if it's never been revealed to you? But did you know it's one of the most beautiful things that you've ever looked at in your life? When you see this great unveiling, unfolding of the mystery of time to understand why men die. Did you know that if you understand time, beloved, you understand why men are born. You understand why men die. You understand what made man to be born. You understand what made man to die. And beside that, you understand what it takes to make man live on and on and on. You say, Brother Pike, that can't be. You came too late to tell me. I've already discovered it. It is true. And it is for this age and it is for this people, because there is a generation that is not going to die, that's not going to be put in a casket. They're not going to throw the dirt in their face. Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but there's coming a change. But I show you this mystery," he said. "I can't speak these things now." He said, "It's unlawful for me to speak them. But it is a mystery that God will bring. At the sounding of the last trump, when the angel sounds in Revelation 10, the mystery of God should be finished." Listen at it for just a moment now. Revelation 7, between the second and the third woe. Revelation 10, the intervention. 10 and 7, the angel. John speaks of him. Here he is now, the angel. I want you to look good, get a good look now. See what we're saying. Here, as we behold the angel of Revelation 10, 7, the Bible said, "When he sounds, it will be the end. For one foot shall be on the land, another on the sea." What does that mean? One foot shall be in the Spirit. He shall be relative to the Spirit. One foot shall be in the Spirit. One foot shall be relative to the flesh. He shall understand the heavenly things. He shall understand the earthly things. He shall be able to tie the heavenly things and earthly things together to make known the deep mystery and the understanding of the things of God. And he will understand what time is, and he'll be able to call time to a close. Now, in this great thing that he is telling us, the Bible says in Revelation 11:15. Notice it now, folks. Revelation 11:15. It says, "And the seventh angel sounded." Are you listening? John says, when this happens, when this happens, the mystery of God should be finished. When this happens, he will sound. Don't ride the thunders. They are a mystery. But when this angel sounds, they won't be a mystery anymore. That is, great is the mystery of godliness. The original rendering, "the secret of God," shall be finished. When this angel sounded, that which is secret shall be made known. For he that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And Paul said, "The revelation was made known unto me." And he said, "I am a steward of the mysteries of God. For great is the mystery of godliness." But at the sounding of the last trump, the mystery of God should be finished. Revelation 11:15. "And the seventh angel sounded." The last woe, the last of the three woes, the last of the seven trumpets, the last of the seven angels. "And the seventh angel sounded." Notice this now. Let's see what it has to do with. We're going to close in just a few moments. It says here that just prior to this, two prophets came on the scene. Read it in Revelation 11. It says here that after these two prophets, their bodies had laid dead in the street, then a little farther down, the angel sounded. Now, it sounds like that these two prophets are relative to the first part of the tribulation. But if you'll check up, you'll find God did this to hide the mystery, and they are relative to the last part of Daniel's last week, 7 years, or 3.5 years, which is in the end after Revelation 12. And I want you to notice something here, and we're not going to enlarge upon it tonight. I wish we could, but we're not going to do it. Maybe we'll pick up tomorrow night, or sometimes through the latter part of the week. We're going to be here through Sunday night, and maybe we'll be able to say something about it. But notice this, beloved friend. It says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And if you'll notice, it also says it's time to give reward to the prophets and the saints that fear his name, both small and great. It says the temple of God was open in heaven and the ark of his testimony was seen. Then it says there was a great wonder in heaven. It says a woman travailing with child to be delivered. It says that a great red dragon was laying there ready to devour the child just as soon as it was born. And the Bible said the great angel Michael came, and there was war in heaven between Michael and between Lucifer, and they fought, and Lucifer and his angels prevailed not, and there was no place found in heaven, and that old dragon, the devil, the great red dragon, was cast out into the earth. The Bible said, war of the inhabitants of the earth, for he is among you. Now, knowing he hath but a short time, he goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the short time is 3.5 years. He knows from that time on, there ain't but just a little time left. All right, now, let me say this in trying to close here tonight. I'm not going to elaborate concerning the red dragon of the woman. Maybe we will tomorrow night. But brother, sister, listen. Lucifer is the prince of the powers of the air. That is why you are sick in your body. You don't have to be sick in your body. You don't have to have poverty. You don't have to be in bondage. You can have deliverance if you know what deliverance is. But let me tell you something. You're made out of the atomic particles. You're made out of the dust. Lucifer has control of your body. That's why Paul said, within my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform it I can't find, because it's under the control, the spell or control of another power. He said, but inwardly I delight in the things of God, and I'm born to the Spirit on the inside. But he said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this wretched body? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he goes on to say, by the body of Jesus Christ, as it was nailed to Calvary, I became a free man. Now we brought out a little of that, and we'll bring out some more as we go along to show a real deliverance of Christ, and that you don't have to be under the control of Lucifer if you are a believer. But this is why you're sick. He afflicts your body. But faith gives you the power through which Jesus Christ has already done for you. By faith, it gives you the power to be able to master Lucifer, take control of your mortal being, and not let sin reign in your mortal being. That is, to have the control or to fulfill the lust and desire thereof. You've got a great benefit. You've got a great opportunity. But you're going to have to zero in on it. You're going to have to enlarge upon it. You're going to have to study to show yourself approved. You're going to have to hunger and thirst after it. You're going to have to move into the things of God and forget about the things of this world. As long as you stay over here on the territory of Satan, you are going to be part of Satan's kingdom. As long as you run after the things of the world, you're going to be just like Elijah's servant was back there. You're going to find yourself back there just as the prophet's servant when he took leprosy, running after the things of the world. As long as you're interested in the things that Satan's got control over, you're going to have the same plagues if you go after the golden wedge, and you're going to cause trouble in God's camp, and you're going to lose your life over it. But if you'll seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, since God has given you the earth and the fullness thereof, the Lord will pass it through the filter of the blood. And he will give you everything that your heart could wish for. And then you can use it for God, dedicate it to God. It can become a great asset to you. It can make you rich without sorrow. Much we could say tonight concerning this last angel, but I'm going to close with these thoughts so that you can ponder till tomorrow night, you that will be back. This angel sounded. What happened? The Bible said it was the end of the world. And the kingdoms of this world thus became the kingdoms of our God. So then when was that angel to sound? In the end of the world. And at that moment, The Bible said the nations were angry. Read it. The nations are angry right now. Did you know that? They were angry. The nations were angry. They're angry at Israel right now. That thing that Israel done. Read over in Luke, when you see the cities of Jerusalem compassed about with armies, know that the tribulation or desolation is nigh, and all the things of vengeance for the hour is to be fulfilled. See, everything is pointing right to it. When did the angel sound? It was in the end of the world. Was it the finishing of the mysteries? It definitely was. Godliness was thus made known, and all the secrets was thus finished. And in that moment, when that thing ended, it brought on the wrath of God, because this angel spoke time out of existence. And I wish tonight that we had time, as we say, when we use the terms time, for your benefit, to think according to time. I wish we had the time to stand here and let you know what time is and what God hath done in bringing forth time, and how God eradicates time, and what happens when time is no more. I wish that we could just stay here tonight and talk to you. But remember one thing, we're right in the end of the world. And a lot of things that we could say, Paul preached all night long. Being a steward of the mysteries, he had eager folks, those that wanted God's best, even at any cost. So he preached all night long. I want you to stand with me. I appreciate you tonight. Appreciate your kind consideration and attention. We'll be here, the Lord willing, tomorrow night and right on through Sunday night. After Sunday night, whatever the Lord tells us, that's what we'll have to do. We're scheduled for 9 nights, since we did not get started on the first night. We are supposed to go overseas. They have asked us to come into Israel. They have asked us to come into India. They have asked us to come into Africa. They have asked us to come into Korea, and on and on and on, the different places they have asked us to come into, and we want to go, and we want to do what we can. We're trying our best to do what we can. Being in the different languages of the world, it gives us an opportunity to minister to many people, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And being in every major language of the world with our ministry, it gives us an opportunity that some people do not have. For this, I'm very grateful, and I want to make full proof of my ministry. I want to do the work of an evangelist, and I want to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature as much as I can. We've been over into Sweden, over into the land of the midnight sun. We've been able to preach in some of those places. Our literature has gone out in those places. We've been able to preach in Israel. And we've been able to preach in South America and Central America. In Haiti, we've been into the islands, all across the different parts of the islands of Puerto Rico and Jamaica and Grand Cayman and other places. And the Lord has blessed us. And we've been all across from coast to coast in the United States. And God has blessed us. And we've been able, by radio and television and the printed page, as well as personal witness and preaching, to be able to reach many people. But you know, the world is so big that when you do all that you can, you barely scratch the surface. The Bible said God gave the word. Great was the multitude of them that published it. So then let's link together as a great army, as a great multitude, in this word that God has given us. Let's link together, and let's publish it throughout the world before it is too late. They that labor shall receive reward. This is the golden opportunity. Today, beloved friend, it is the time of the golden opportunity. At this precise moment, you have opportunity to do service for the king. If the great king or the president decides your service tonight, it would really cause you to be tore up. If the president especially sent you a wire, just you as an individual, pulled you out from among the others, sent you a telegram and said your service is desired by the President and the people of the United States, because we have decided that you are a great, outstanding person, and your character and your understanding is needed. Why, you'd just about do cartwheels, as the world uses the term. But to think tonight that you've got a special invitation from the Almighty God, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the great King of all ages, He desires your service tonight. He has sent you a special invitation by them that speak to you in the name of the Lord. Will you accept His invitation? The Bible said, if you do not, then He said, go out and burn their cities with fire. John said, I saw them crumble to the ground. Those that refuse to come to my supper, those that refuse my invitation, don't spare them with mercy. Burn their cities with fire and kill them with death. So tonight, accept this great opportunity, for it is so rewarding, beloved friend. It is so rewarding. I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, what difference does it make as long as I get to heaven? That's all we're going to do anyway. But that's so wrong. Did you know there's going to be kings in heaven? Now, are you listening? Did you know the Bible said around that throne was 24 kings? Did you know Jesus said to the apostles, they said, what are we going to get for leaving our families and all these things? He said, when I rule upon my throne, ye shall judge the 12 tribes of Israel upon 12 thrones. Did you know the Bible said, be ruler over 5 cities and 10 cities and such like? Did you know that God gave one more talents than He did the other? Did you know that even going to hell, the Bible said, and these shall receive the greater damnation? Did you know there's degrees of reward with God, both in heaven and in hell? And you've got a great opportunity tonight to press in and become one of the great kings, one of the great leaders. For the Bible said, God hath made us under our God kings and priests. You've got the opportunity to be a son of God tonight, a prince, if you're willing to do it. But you need to take advantage of it. It's a great opportunity. Don't be foolish and spend your life doing the feeble, worthless things of life. All right, let's sing this chorus together. I love to sing this chorus, sweep over my soul. When we say, sweep over my soul, Lord, sweep over my soul. I love to feel the Spirit sweep over my soul. I love to think upon Jesus. Nothing more beautiful, nothing more sweeter than have His wonderful everlasting presence and to know that you can never die. Your life is no more than that of a beast. Your life is as a vapor that appeareth for a while and then vanisheth away. Your life is swifter than the shuttle. Your life is but nothing, beloved friend, a few days and full of trouble, even if you have everything. You're no more than a beast, no more than the dust of the earth. But in Jesus Christ, you are eternal. You are a God. Ye are gods, Jesus said. But from the lack of this knowledge, you'll die the death of a man when you could bypass the grave. You are a great eternal being that's made to live forever in splendor and youth and power and wealth and glory and magnificence, without weights, without trouble, without problems, without heartaches, without all of these things that you encounter through life. You are made to be a great prince, a great person in God, a great king's daughter or son. Tonight, don't you want to accept that invitation? Don't you want to make that divine commitment? Don't you want to be part of what God is? As He is, so are we in Him. Let's sing this song, can we? Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul. O King Jesus, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit
At your feet, oh sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. I want you to sing with me now. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Sing it with me one more time now, will you? For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I wonder tonight, as we sing this song, if again we could gather around the altar. You know, we're only here a few nights, just a few nights, and then the meeting will be history. It will be behind us. Never again can you be in this meeting. That will be the end of it. Everything that you do, beloved friend, in this meeting, every thought that you think, every action that you put forth, every feeling that you have, every desire, whether one way or another in this meeting, will soon be history and soon be past, and it will soon be gone. And as to your attitude toward this meeting here in your area, as to your attitude toward the things that God is doing here, friend, it will soon be over. But while you're here, while the tent is here, while the ministry's here, while we're praying and seeking God on these premises, while they're dedicated to God, now's the time to come. We're standing on holy ground. You know, God said, Moses, remove your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. And we're standing on holy ground tonight. The ground is holy. God has made it holy. We've asked God to make this ground holy here. We've asked God to anoint this place and anoint this tent and anoint the preaching and anoint the people and anoint the hearing. We've asked God to do this because we want you to be blessed. We want you to be healed. We want you to receive salvation. We want you to have this great chance, this great opportunity to enter into the blessings of Almighty God. Tonight, as we stand together here tonight, tonight as we come together here, as we stand together, I want you to lift your hands to heaven. Will you do that? The Bible says, I would that men everywhere, lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. You know, you can have the desires of your heart, beloved friend, but the Bible says, when you stand praying, if you have aught against any person, then forgive, that God may forgive you. For if ye forgive not men their trespasses, even from your heart, if ye forgive not, then the Heavenly Father will not forgive you your trespasses. You cannot hold a grudge against anybody. It doesn't matter how much they've hurt you. It doesn't matter how bad they've done you. It doesn't matter what they've said about you. It doesn't matter whether they criticize you, or whether they've mistreated you, or whether they've cut you to your heart. Beloved friend, I want you to know tonight, you can't have one thing against them. If your brother have aught against you, before you come to offer your gift to God, then make things right with your brother. Before you try to help your brother, the Bible said, get the beam out of thine own eye, then thou mayest see clearly to get the mote out of thy brother's eye. But how can you get that out of your brother's eye when a light as a great beam is blinding you and you cannot see past the gleam of it. So tonight, if there's anything in your heart, then do away with it. The Bible tells us that if our eye be single, our whole body is filled with light. But if our eye be evil, then our body is filled with darkness. Jesus is speaking of the eye of understanding. Paul said the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. If the eye of your understanding is evil, if you are double-minded, then the eye of your understanding is darkened. It has intellectual reasoning, and your whole body is full of light. But if you're not double-minded, if your eye is single, just the mind of Christ, the thoughts of Christ, he that keepeth his mind stayed upon Christ Jesus, that brings every thought into subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ, this man shall have perfect peace. Mark the perfect man, for the end of that man is peace. Let's lift our hands tonight. Let's love Jesus tonight. And let's ask Jesus tonight to do something for us. I want you to lift your hands up, and I want to pray for you tonight. Father of heaven, Lord, we've gathered together here in the name of your beloved Son. We've gathered together here, Father, because we're hungering and thirsting after the things of God. After righteousness, Father. And these people have come night after night. And they've gathered themselves together to be a part of your great kingdom. And oh, dear Father, tonight I look toward heaven. And oh, I remember, Heavenly Father, Lord, that great temple of Solomon in that day. That if any person looked in that direction and called upon the name of the Lord, that they would receive the blessings of heaven. And Father, in the name of your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the power of the Spirit, and dear God, by the blood that was spilled at Calvary, I ask your blessings tonight. I ask your love tonight. I ask your leadership tonight. I ask you to heal every sick body here tonight. I ask you to free every person from sin tonight. I ask you to take every thought out of their mind that would be contrary to the Word of God. Father, let them feed upon the thoughts of the Word of God. Let them think the thoughts of Jesus, that they may feed upon the fruits of righteousness. Oh God, having their fruits unto holiness and the end thereof eternal life. I ask you to heal. I ask you to bless. I ask you to move over this audience tonight, dear beloved Father, to give them the desires of their heart. May there not be one afflicted person among us. May there not be one sick person among us. May there be not one person that's bound with evil spirits. God, but what the yoke will be broken. May there not be one person here that will be lost in the day of the judgment. May they make the great divine commitment tonight. And Holy Father, by faith in God, in the name of your Son, let salvation sweep over their soul. God, as you touch them with your presence tonight. Hallelujah. I feel God's presence. Let's worship God for just a minute now. Examine yourselves tonight. See if you be in the faith. See if your conviction is in the Word of God tonight. See if your conviction is in the tradition of the elders, in religious bodies, in background of those that have spoke to you, or if it's in the Word of God tonight. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. In the last days they shall depart from the face, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. But tonight, beloved friend, if you don't depart from the Word, you've not departed from the faith. You may leave a church, you may leave a denomination, you may leave a religious body, you may leave something your grandparents have told you, something the forefathers have left with you, but you've not departed from the faith. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. But when you leave God's Word, you've departed from the faith. So I invite you tonight to believe in God. Call upon the name of the Lord. Don't depart from the faith. Be anchored in the faith. Examine yourself. See if you're in the faith tonight. See if your conviction is in the faith tonight, in the Word tonight. And if you'll do that tonight, God will do something for you like He's never done before. I can feel healing here tonight. I can feel faith here tonight. I can feel God moving by His Spirit here tonight. You feel God? I've been trying to build a little faith in this meeting tonight. trying to build a little faith in these previous meetings to where we can pray individually for the sick. But I felt God healing through these meetings. I felt God collectively healing, moving by Spirit among the people. Night after night, I want you to lift your hands and praise Him again, will you? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You say, I'm not a Christian. It didn't say that. It said, have breath. If you've got breath tonight, you're under the dispensation of grace. Whether you're a Christian or not, beloved friend, you owe praise to God for keeping you alive. You're under the dispensation of grace. You're getting the same blessing to the Christian. Lift up your hands and praise Him. Whether you're a Christian or not, praise Him, and God will have mercy on you in this hour that we're living in and do something special for your life. Hallelujah. I feel faith in God tonight. I feel the Spirit moving tonight. Glory to God. I can feel faith here tonight. There's people that's believing God. People that's loving God tonight. Let's just love Him and praise Him for just a few minutes, can we?